Paper currency is the new Typhoid Mary. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 22nd day of May. Thanks for joining us. What sounded odd just 4 months ago may become commonplace. Are you listening, Andrew Yang? Fishermen and the economy both are hurting. We've got two stories about China and what happened today on Wall Street. It's the Friday edition of the business news headlines, and that is all coming to you next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and yes, welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. And by the way, you want to reach us 24/7, you can do that on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Bills. You know, paper currency? It's being rejected by a growing number of businesses. The almighty dollar has lost some of its might in the time of COVID-19. Now, while most struggling businesses will take payment in any form to make ends meet during this economic downturn, a minority reject cash, fearing that it could be a transmission vehicle for the virus. Some experts predict that the pandemic will accelerate a steady flight by American consumers away from dollars and cents. Dollars remain in record circulation around the world, in part as a perceived safe haven for investors, and not infrequently as the preferred vehicle for money launderers and tax evaders. But on Main Street, the use of greenbacks makes some retailers and customers flinch, and contrary to popular belief, there is no federal law that requires businesses to accept cash and coins, that according to the Federal Reserve's website. Now, there's not been specific research on the danger of the coronavirus being transmitted via cash. A National Institute of Health study found that the virus does remain infectious on cardboard for about 24 hours. But germs picked up from surfaces can be eliminated through thorough hand washing. Now, that doesn't make cash any less creepy to many of the consumers and workers who handle the bills with no way of knowing who's touched them before. Yeah, right? You know where that dollar was? Never mind. When former Democratic presidential hopeful Andrew Yang started talking about the federal government handing out $1,000 a month to every American 18 to 65, lots of people wrote that idea off as, well, goofy. But now, during COVID-19, it's being talked about seriously. The coronavirus outbreak, which plunged the nation into an economic freefall, has created an opening for governments and nonprofits to experiment with giving money directly to Americans with no strings attached. In Los Angeles, for example, thousands have been handed Angelino cards, no-fee debit cards loaded with $700 to $1,500 bucks. Across the nation, food stamp recipients are getting a $1,000 check from a private effort whose leaders include former presidential candidate, yeah, you guessed it, Andrew Yang. The federal government, with near unanimous support from Democrats and Republicans, is sending up to $1,200 to most people to blunt unprecedented job losses. Democrats in the Senate and House have proposed even larger monthly payments. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said last month on MSNBC that a guaranteed income may be worthy of attention now. Thank you, Mr. Yang. Well, we all know about the issue of meat shortages and how that's playing out across the nation, but another farmer is hurting badly, and they farm at sea. The coronavirus crisis is hitting seafood businesses even harder than the meat industry, prompting fishermen and processors to overhaul their operations and look for new customers. U.S. supermarket shoppers are buying more fish and shellfish to prepare at home during quarantine, but business owners say the rise isn't enough to offset the loss of sales to restaurants where 70% of seafood is consumed. Captains across the country of docked vessels and distributors have rerouted what fresh fish they can into freezers, sometimes destroying the rest. Prices for items like lobster tail and salmon have plummeted as costs climb for processors trying to prevent the virus from spreading in seafood plants as it has in slaughterhouses. While nearly two-thirds of seafood eaten in the U.S. is consumed outside the home, sales of other proteins, including chicken, beef, and pork, are more evenly split between grocery stores and restaurants. Meanwhile, U.S. seafood sales at grocery stores totaled $1.4 billion for the 4 weeks that ended on May 9th. That is a 40% increase from a year earlier, but it's still not enough. A group of 15 distributors surveyed in April by the National Fisheries Institute said that they expect to lose $1.7 billion, about 40% of their annual income, if current conditions last through year's end. Only 20% of more than 500 aquaculture businesses surveyed in March by Virginia Tech and The Ohio State University said they would survive the next 6 months without outside support. Well, one of the reasons Wall Street stalled out today had to do with what's becoming another international crisis between the United States and China. As the pandemic draws on, the relationship has gotten more strained, with each country blaming the other about the true extent and origin of the coronavirus outbreak, with President Trump threatening tariffs on China again this month. In the latest move, the U.S. Senate passed legislation on Wednesday that could restrict Chinese companies from listing on American exchanges or raise money from U.S. investors unless they abide by Washington's regulatory and audit standards. The issue is likely to remain contentious, analysts say, as U.S.-China tensions take center stage ahead of the U.S. presidential elections in November, where President Trump will try to hold on to the White House. Stocks closed little change today as investors capped a strong week of gains and focused on optimism around the potential coronavirus vaccine and the U.S. reopening its economy, although both issues are far from becoming a reality anytime soon. The S&P 500 rose by 0.2% to 29.55, while the Dow slipped 8 points to 24.465. The NASDAQ outperformed, rising by 0.4% to 93.24. For the week, the Dow gained 3.3% to post its best weekly performance since April 9th. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ also rose more than 3% this week. Meanwhile, the Russell 2000, which tracks small-cap stocks, trounced the large-cap index this week with a more than 7% jump. News about a potential vaccine from Moderna sent equities flying earlier in the week, with the Dow surging by more than 900 points on Monday. Moderna said all 45 participants in its vaccine trial had developed coronavirus antibodies. Reuters reported, citing scientists leading the program, the U.S. is working on an effort to involve more than 100,000 volunteers to test promising vaccine candidates. Today, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told NPR that Moderna's vaccine data looks promising. Moderna shares rose by more than 2% on those comments. And finally, there is this. How about a China 2.0? Bowing to pressure from the pandemic, Beijing abandoned its annual growth target for the first time in a quarter century. China's leadership, faced with rising unemployment since the outbreak began earlier this year, has shifted its focus to economic stability and security. The annual National People's Congress, on its opening day, also addressed plans to impose new laws in Hong Kong to prevent secession and subversion in the semi-autonomous city. That, by the way, friends, will not be taken well. Stay tuned. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for coming by and listening. For all of us associated with this project, we do it every day, it seems like. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby is in charge of sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Be well. Oh, by the way, here just again, I know that it's Memorial Day weekend, but on Sunday, we are back with News Talk 1540 KXEL at noon, with Insight on Business, the News Hour Week in Review. That is happening Sunday at noon. For all those folks My name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.